SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Happy Wednesday to all our viewers and listeners. We are amped up this morning because Kevin is actually back in studio. He's looking great this morning. So, Kev, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited. As you said, here in studio, Times Square, making it happen. I'm pumped up. I'm awake a little bit earlier than usual, so that's got the energy flowing. The Lakers caught a W. That's got the energy flowing. Very, very excited.
Kevin's been trying to calm himself down because he actually is that excited. But let's get into our 7-7. We'll start off with the Lakers, though. For the NBA playoffs, AD bounces back with 34 points. The Lakers 109-102 win over the Suns. LeBron James was hitting clutch baskets down the stretch to get the win. Lakers cover as short favorites over Cashes, and the Lakers tie the series.
What a huge game. A true turning point in this series, no doubt about it. We said that Anthony Davis would likely step up. Boy, did he ever. 34 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists to boot. LeBron James had the jumper working. I will say, though, it's fair to argue that the bigger story comes from the Phoenix side of things. Chris Paul, only able to play 23 minutes. That shoulder, far from 100%. An unfortunate reality for Phoenix that their star guard is not going to be healthy for the remainder of this series, and if they're able to make it past that, probably the rest of the postseason.
Yep, and Kevin and I will break down the three NBA games that happened last night in our next segment. But also, Luka Doncic shines once again. The Mavs take a stunning 2-0 lead over the Clippers. Doncic finished with 39 points in this game, while Tim Hardaway Jr. added 28. Now, the Mavs win 127-121 as dog over Cashes. But what's interesting, Kev, over 93% of teams that go down 2-0 in a best-of-seven series go on to lose the series.
Yeah, the Clippers are in a tough spot. Those that have been following us here on the Early Line know that we have a position on the Clippers to win the title. They have some monster odds now, more than doubled odds to win the West, quite long. We'll talk about if there's any value on those Clippers potential tickets. But also, let's just give Luka Doncic credit. We are watching the next best player in the world, probably. Mm-hmm. He's probably top five right now. 39-7-7, and they have no answer for this guy, and they have two of the best wing defenders in the NBA.
Yeah, I was very surprised with that. I was really riding the Clippers, especially on the spread. Also, the Nets ball at the Celtics, 130-108, cover his favorites. Joe Harris scored 25 points with 7 made threes. KD adds 26, and the big three looked in sync last night.
Yeah, they sure did. They're having a real easy run of this Celtics series. We'll talk about some of those updated odds. The Game 3 lines that are available are also very interesting to take a look at here. Another bit of an injury update. This one, difficult to judge the severity, though. But Jason Tatum only available for 21 minutes after leaving that game after being poked in the eye. It's going around the NBA, the eye pokes. We'll see, you know, Tatum's health status, how good he's going to be the remainder of that series.
Also in NBA news, Knicks Julius Randle wins Most Improved Player Award. He led the Knicks to their first postseason appearance since 2013. He averaged career highs with 24 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, while shooting 41% from the three-point range.
It's just an unbelievable step forward from Julius Randle. He went from a good player to all-NBA level, made an all-star team, well-deserved, and probably will land on an all-NBA team. And more important than anything, the best player on a team that had a top-four spot in the East, a tremendous step forward, incredibly, incredibly deserving of Most Improved.
And Knicks will be playing Atlanta tonight. We'll break that game down in our second hour of our show. But let's quickly welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Now let's switch to playoff hockey. Another playoff game going into overtime. The Hurricanes beat the Panthers, win 3-2 in OT, and take the series to game 6.
This is such a shift from the first two games, though. The Hurricanes were up 2-0. It looked like they would put this thing away very easily. Nashville took both games at home. They come back to Carolina and nearly took a third straight. A massive swing, though, as now the Hurricanes are one win away from keeping their hopes here in the Stanley Cup playoffs alive.
And time to take it to the field. The Dodgers win eight straight games with a 9-2 victory over the Astros in Houston. Now the Dodgers plus 330 to win the MLB World Series, plus 165 to win the National League, minus 280 to win the NL West on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now.
Look, the Dodgers are red hot. They have reminded everybody, not just the NL West, who the best team is, though the Padres are playing great baseball as well, but the Dodgers are still the team to beat, and I am sure this was a great feeling for them going out there and beating a team that they believe stole the World Series from them, especially Kershaw, who got tanked in Houston because there are a bunch of cheaters down there.
Also in Major League Baseball, Mets win 3-1 and Jacob deGrom's return to the field. And while that shouldn't need really a headline that the team wins with one of the NL MVP favorites, the Mets have struggled to put up wins with him on the mound.
It's true. It was also his first return start, right? So that was noteworthy. And here's what was noteworthy. DeGrom, 5 innings of work, only 3 hits, 1 earned run, typical great DeGrom, but he only pitched 63 pitches. That's going to be something to follow there. When does Jacob deGrom get himself back to a full go? Of course, that's very important for strikeout props. The fact that he struck out 9 batters in only the 5 innings of work is quite impressive. And I'll just quickly add some other Mets news on the unfortunate side of things. Noah Syndergaard, in a minor league start, pulled with elbow discomfort there. They've been excited to get Thor back, likely a setback, something that could very well maybe damage his chances of playing at all this season.
Yeah, for sure. Something we'll be keeping an eye on. But stay with us here on the early line this morning. We have a lot coming towards you with some NBA recap coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We're now going to get into some NBA recap. There were 3 playoff games that happened last night. Let's take it to the Barclays Center first with the Celtics versus the Nets. Now, the Nets, Kev, jumped out all over the Celtics right out of the gate with the help of Brooklyn's Joe Harris. Just wanted to mention the first 7 minutes, Harris was 4 for 4 from beyond the arc for 16 points. The Nets end up getting the win 130-108, take a 2 lead in the series. Now, over 93% of the teams that go 2-0 in the best of 7 series go on to lose the series. So it's something to keep in mind for the Celtics here. But they really struggled last night.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I don't think anybody out there has had grand ideas that the Celts were going to be upsetting the Nets in this series. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of how competitive can they be? Are they able to grab one game? Could they possibly grab 2? We mentioned in the headlines the Game 3 lines. And I'm not jumping ahead. I'm bringing it up, though, because you're now seeing the power ratings shift for this matchup considerably. This was a 9-point spread in Brooklyn. You go to Boston, and they are absolutely giving teams a boost for home court, right? Whether it be 2.5 or 3 full points, this is 7.5 now. It shows that they are getting lower on Boston, higher on Brooklyn, maybe a combination of the two, and it's incredibly understandable. Again, I don't mean to try and take away from what the Nets are doing, but I think Boston's the worst team in the playoffs. I think they're worse than Washington. I think they're worse than Memphis. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anybody else you'd really even make the argument for at this point here. And the biggest worry for Boston is Jason Tatum going to be all right for game number 3? You would anticipate so. At the end of the day, you're down 2-0. You wish maybe it was a little bit more competitive. You're going to be down 2-0 coming out of the Barclays Center anyway. Can you create some magic in Boston? That's what this is all going to hang on.
And we talked about this yesterday, Kev, that if the Celtics are going to get one win, it would be that we assume at TD Garden. But yesterday, of course, Boston shot 12 from 34 from the floor, 79% from the free throw line. We know Jason Tatum was poked in the eye in the third. He did not return into the game. The Nets actually took a 24-point lead going into halftime. So it just seems like this team is not going to be able to hang with the Nets. I get it was at the Barclays Center. Now they're going home. But I even think that this line, even though they're getting 7.5 points, I'm surprised it's not longer. I totally understand the home court advantage, but at the same time, I'm just like, this team is, like you said, the worst team in my eyes as well in the playoffs right now.
And I think the 7.5, though, I do think is considerable because, like you said, they're going back to Boston. Also, I'm sure there's going to be some people who say, you know what, give me some Boston here as this is their last hope, right? You go down 3-0, you might as well pack it in. What's the point, right? So I think there's going to be a little bit of love on Boston. There are some considerable moves, though, in the finals odds now as Brooklyn, for the first time all year, we see a team drop below 2-1 to win the NBA championship, plus 185. They're now minus 115 to win the East, even though they are likely going to have the tough task of a Milwaukee matchup in game two, and we anticipate a Philly matchup in the conference finals if they got past Milwaukee. I do think you are seeing people come around on this, the Nets are unstoppable, the Nets are unstoppable idea. Mm-hmm. While I understand that, I think Boston's the worst team in the playoffs. They're beating them, no doubt. I mean, Joe Harris games clearly is going to be unstoppable. We told you Durant was going to have an incredibly efficient game. But I'm not overreacting to what I think is the worst team in the playoffs. And a team, by the way, that had an awful, awful road record this season.
Yes, and the one other thing I wanted to bring up, though, quickly before we move on to their games is the Nets' three-point shooting last night. They shot 23% from the three-point range as a team in Game 1 last night, shooting 44%, which was much better. We saw this big three kind of picking things up. KD, 26 points. Kyrie, 15. Harden, 20. Collectively, they shot 24-36 from the field, including 7 of 13 from beyond the arc and 14-14 from the free throw line. So do you think the Brooklyn Nets are trying to find their ground at this point with this trio? Do you think in this third game that there's a potential that they won't play one of the big three?
No. These guys are playing. It's the playoffs. There's enough time off. We're done with back-to-backs. They'll all still be more than available. And I think the thing is we're now getting more of a sample size for props. What can we trust? You know, Kevin Durant had 26 points yesterday, point prop of 27.5. You made an excellent play if you played the over. You only played 29 minutes. It was a total blowout. Harden, over under 9.5 assists. He gets the 7. He only played 27 minutes. We've talked about it. We'll continue to talk about it. Blowouts crush over bettors in the props market. It's consistently the case, and that was the case here last night. I mean, the most minutes that anybody played in this game on either team was Marcus Smart at 32 minutes. That's not playoff basketball. Compare it to minutes logged in that Lakers game or even the Clippers game. You can tell that the blowouts really put you at a disadvantage if you're betting overs in the props market.
Of course, and Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker also hitting the under for their player props as well. Just wanted to mention that Brooklyn did cover the first half spread of -5.5. So maybe that's a trend that we start to keep an eye on over the next couple of games, just because if you don't feel comfortable laying that many points towards the end, or you think that Boston will be able to backdoor cover, maybe you take a look at that first half spread.
Yeah, it's something to consider. I will also add this. So far, every single game number two has gone over. Interesting. Today, of course, we'll be breaking them down in hour number two, the remainder of those game twos. But that doesn't feel insignificant to me. Now, that's 5 of 8. So if you've not been betting that, I'm not saying blindly take overs in today's action. But I would keep that in mind as perhaps teams now, okay, it's the playoffs, deep breath. We've got one game under our belt, maybe shaking off a little bit of rust. We've talked about teams having that 1 week delay as the play-in round was happening. Something to consider, I think.
And in terms of the series prices, just want to mention the Nets, minus 8,000. So you're not going to want to be betting that. But if you wanted to bet on the series total games, 4 games, minus 145, 5 games, plus 190. So if you do think that the Boston Celtics are just going to get one win off the Brooklyn Nets, maybe you want to bet into that market as well. Is there anything in terms of series prices, Kev, that you enjoy or want to bet on?
I'll just reiterate the 2.5 games that we laid. This is not meant as any form of a victory lap, but it's just talking about comfortable ways to maybe bet on a team like a Brooklyn. That -2.5 games is now minus 480. And also, though, what you brought up I thought was very important. Brooklyn now to win in four, minus 150. That is what tends to happen when a team goes out there and comfortably handles their first two games, is the odds have almost but no choice to shift towards the sweep. Yeah. And you can maybe make an assumption there when a team like Brooklyn's hosting those first two. Now minus 150, you could have got pretty considerable odds on that pre-series because it was favored to go five games.
Yeah, no, for sure. So let's switch over to another game that happened last night. The Lakers versus the Suns. I know you were amped up about this win. 109-102 for the Lakers. They covers 2-point favorites, and they tied the series, and they're going to be heading back to L.A. soon.
I mean, it's massive. It's massive. There's a lot to digest from this. There's updated prices. All of it is very important. But the most important thing is the Chris Paul health status, bar none. AD getting playing better, LeBron hitting jumpers, you know, Marc Gasol getting more minutes. Chris Paul, unfortunately, is just nowhere near 100%. Was their season on the line last night? No, but it's the playoffs. Devin Booker, 40 minutes of work. DeAndre Ayton, 42 minutes. Chris Paul, 23 minutes. That's not by design. That is an unfortunate reality now that the Phoenix Suns' best player is compromised. And not only is it docking his minutes, but it's docking his play. As Chris Paul, you know, only 6 points. He was a minus two. Wasn't able to take a three. I wonder if he's even got enough strength in the shoulders to put up long balls. And I think, obviously, the Lakers now having home court advantage in the series helps. But the Lakers being minus 325 on that updated series price, I have to think, Aaron, factors in Chris Paul's very likely compromised shoulder.
Yeah, no, I think that absolutely is factoring that in. And of course, Devin Booker, he muscled his way through 31 points, 17 of 17 from the free throw line. But just in general, he obviously needs Chris Paul, and he's not healthy right now. We'll talk more about this game on the other side. Stay with us here. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning and welcome back to The Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Going to continue with our NBA recap. Starting off with the Lakers versus the Suns, the Lakers win 109-102. Now, Anthony Davis led the way for LA with 34 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. He was awesome last night. Another player that was superb was Dennis Schroeder. He ended with 24 points. Kev, just wanted to ask you how some of these pieces looked around LeBron James last night.
Yeah, you know Dennis Schroeder is certainly noteworthy here. They made a great point on the broadcast last night about Dennis missing the back end of the regular season due to health and safety protocols and having to work his way back to full strength. And, you know, it's gotten to the point now where you almost become a little numb to it. You forget that that is the case, right? I mean, he was horrendous in the play-in game against the Warriors. He was fine in game one against Phoenix. Nothing bad, but nothing noteworthy. Because clearly his best game since returning from, you know, his time out due to the health and safety protocols. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder really did establish himself as the third best Laker during the meat of the season when those three were all around, or even when he was filling in for an Anthony Davis who was missing some time there. So I think the Dennis stuff is important, but I think the AD stuff is the most important. Look, I know it sounds like a lot to say that somebody should average, you know, 30 a game for a series, but I mean, come on here. He should be averaging 30 a game for this series. They do not have an answer for this guy. They don't. Like, and I know people will say, oh, 18 of 21 free throws, that's ridiculous. Is it? I mean, what else is Jay Crowder going to do? What is DeAndre Ayton going to do? They're going to foul him. He's aggressive. And that's the thing. When AD is aggressive, he gets to the line. He's one of the bigs in the NBA that knocks his free throws down. And this is what he can bring to the table.
How did you think also LeBron looked last night with 23 points in 39 minutes of action?
Yeah, you know, a little springy from LeBron. We had a, you know, a little transition dunk, followed a little bit by an alley-oop. I mean, was the downfall of the King greatly exaggerated? Probably. You know, I think it's going to be really interesting to, again, watch the commentary around LeBron develop throughout this postseason. Let's just hypothetically say, and I know we're going to get to it in a moment, but the Clippers are eliminated again by a team not named the Lakers. How quickly this is going to change from, this is impossible, they'll never win, to, what an easy road, oh my God, asterisk, it doesn't even count, because this is what they do. But look, he was their best player again. LeBron was a plus two in the game one loss, a plus 14 here in game number two. He's controlling all of the action, 9 assists in this game, the 23 points. And the thing, too, for LeBron, the jumpers working right now. 4 of 9 from beyond the arc, 9 of 16 as a whole. Hit, you know, a couple of clutch threes there in that fourth quarter. He's got everything working right now. All they need to do is protect their home floor, and they'll not only win this series, but will be cashing tickets on the Lakers minus a game and a half.
And in terms of the series right now, the Lakers minus 325 to beat the Suns. But, of course, there's better value through the series correct score, series spread, series total games. Is there anything in terms of the series markets that you like, Kev?
Yeah, I'll just mention, though, look at that series spread price. I mean, it's a 1-1 series. Mm-hmm. That number pre-series was, I think, plus 118 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. After the Lakers lost game one, they didn't give you updated odds on that. What they did give you were, you know, the Lakers plus a half game at like minus, you know, 300, nothing you would want. But look at it now. All the Lakers needed was a split in game one and two, and that minus a game and a half was going to be the bet to make. And right now, based on the juice at minus 168, I do believe that to be the case here, because I think it's very plausible that the Lakers win this series in not only six games. I think they very well could win it in five. I do not mean that as any type of disrespect or discrediting towards the Phoenix Suns, but I think the Lakers will handle home court. And if they have an opportunity to go into Phoenix and close out, again, CP3 compromised, I think they can get that job done. That's down the road, though.
And Chris Paul compromised obviously seems to be the biggest storyline around this entire series. Let's switch over to the Mavs and Clippers series, though. Dallas wins game two, 127 to 121 against the Clippers. Now, for the total, it was trending under before when we were talking about this game yesterday, but yesterday's game did hit over. Mavs cover is 7.5-point dogs. Over does cash, as I mentioned. Kev, what happened here? How were the Clippers unable to stop Luka Doncic?
So we said yesterday that the Clippers were going to bounce back offensively. And we've seen that now with the Bucks, the Nets, and the Clippers bouncing back offensively. Just offenses that are far too good, getting that positive regression in their favor. They scored 121. If I would have told you that they were going to score 121 points per game, we're betting the Clippers. We're betting the Clippers left, right, and center. They gave up 127 points. How? And I mean, I know how. It's because Luke is a phenom right now. He's doing everything. Tim Hardaway Jr. can't miss. Kristaps knocking him down from every single area of the floor. But they can, like, you can't win that way. That's why we've been hesitant on Brooklyn. And it's unacceptable from a Clippers team that boasts two elite perimeter wing defenders in Kawhi and Paul George, a guy in Patrick Beverley who is supposed to be also an elite defender. And look, last year they tried to blame their entire postseason flameout on Montrezl Harrell's defense. He doesn't even play on this team anymore. Is it still Montrez's fault? Is it still Doc's fault? Like, 127, unacceptable.
Yeah, absolutely unacceptable. I mean, Luka ending with 39 points, 13 of 24 from the three free throw line as well. He obviously had a great game, hitting his over prop of 28.5. As for Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he did end with 41 points. Paul George, 28 points. Reggie Jackson, 15 points. But I think one thing that kind of stood out to me is the Clippers, again, shot terrible from the three-point range. I mean, they ended the game shooting 39% from the floor after going 11 for 40 from three on Saturday. So that's something to keep in mind there, because I feel like the Clippers, that's, we thought we were going to see positive regression, and now we're clearly seeing something that we were not expecting. And we know the Clippers wanted to face the Mavs basically towards the end of the regular season, and now I'm wondering if they're thinking that wasn't such a great idea.
So here's the interesting thing. Yesterday, the NBA lottery odds took place. OKC, with their win over the Clippers, ended up in a tiebreaker situation, costing themselves the possibility of landing, right, one of those top four picks. Well, they won. and they got the fourth pick, perhaps rewarded for their win to close out the regular season. The Clippers, who quite obviously tanked to get this matchup, perhaps not rewarded. I mean, look, it's just one of those things where you plan too far ahead. Like, oh, okay, in an ideal world, we won't see the Lakers until the conference finals. Maybe somebody can eliminate them for us. But, like, you signed yourself up for a harder round one matchup in the Mavericks over the Blazers. Realistically, a harder round two matchup in having to play the Jazz instead of perhaps a Phoenix Suns. Now, if you were going to play the Lakers in round two, that's harder than the Jazz, but you're going to play them in the conference finals anyway, right? Like, it didn't really make much sense. This is the thing, though. Like, you look at the Kawhi 41 on very efficient shooting. Oh, great game. Paul George, 28, 12, and 6. Very efficient shooting. Defense. You, too, have your place in this league based on what you can do on the defensive side of the basketball. Kawhi's status as a top three player in this league and Paul George's as a top 15 player hang on what they are supposed to do on the defensive side of the ball. Luka is working them. I mean, he is running, and the confidence that Luka is out there with, I mean, it is overwhelming right now. Like, at this point, I think you could say that Luka is as high as the third best player in the NBA. And I don't know how anybody's arguing that he's not the best player in this series.
So how do you think the Clippers are going to be able to basically find a formula to shut him down? First, in game one, they were double teaming him. That didn't really work out because obviously other players around him were able to get the points, get the win. Then yesterday we saw him again going off. I know you're saying they technically don't really have an answer considering these past two games, but coming into this third game, is there anything they can do to make sure that they get that win?
Yeah, there's a couple of changes. I think you're going to probably have to abandon centers. Ivica Zubac, who we talked about yesterday, unfortunately only, you know, with 2 points in the game. He was a minus 16. And again, I'm not trying to put it all on him, but it's time to go small. Kristaps, while being a, you know, 7'2" center, prefers to stay on the perimeter anyway. You either, you know, more Serge Ibaka minutes or trying to rely a little bit more on a, you know, Terrence Mann or a Nick Batum, whatever it might be. I think you got to stop with center minutes because, again, the issue for them now coming out of this game is just the defensive side of the ball. It's a plan to stop Luka Doncic. And if we can just quickly, Aaron, talk about not just the updated odds on the series price with this one, but, I mean, can you tell people about these odds that this team is now staring down the barrel to win the title and to win the West?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something to keep in mind. But let's actually talk about the series betting prices right now. The Mavericks, minus 290, of course, can bet on all the other things that I told you about before. But like you mentioned, with some of those prices in terms of the Clippers, I mean, how do you think things are going to shake out with that?
Yeah, I mean, look, right now the Clips plus 225 to win this series. Dallas can be had at home. The question is, do we trust the mental state of a Clippers team? They have to feel very low on themselves after those first two games. And Kawhi has some looming free agency that, if this series goes the way it's trending, is going to be the talk of the offseason. And just to reiterate, though, the Clippers are now 16-1 to win the title, and they are plus 650 to win the West. Massive moves on them.
Stay with us here on the Red Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line for Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to get into some Major League Baseball talk. So yesterday, favorites went 9-6. Biggest upset was the Reds, with other upsets being the Blue Jays, Royals, Mariners, Phillies, and Padres. Unders went 10-5. Let's start off, Kev, with the Mets versus the Rockies. We know Jacob DeGrom was back in for his first game after being injured. He has 9 strikeouts yesterday and 5 innings pitched. Mets win 5-3. How did the Mets look in this win with Jacob back on the mound?
So, ultimately, it was usual Jacob deGrom. It's just outside of the volume. Only 63 pitches for deGrom, but that's really all they needed. He only allowed the solo shot to McMahon. Outside of that, pretty much flawless. No walks, 9 Ks, only gave up 2 hits outside of that solo shot. I mean, he was phenomenal. He was Jacob deGrom in every sense of the word. I have to bring up something, though, that we saw on the live board. After the Mets went up 1-0 at the end of the first inning, the live run line went to 2.5, which was obviously factoring in the idea that DeGrom was not going to be giving up any runs, which is fair. He hardly ever does, but that also then requires the Mets to score significantly more. If you see live odds that offer you whomever DeGrom is going against plus 2.5 runs, you probably should take it. In 7 Jacob deGrom starts, if you were able to find 2.5 runs on a live board, you would be 6-1 this year. They just don't score for the guy. It's been that way for years. It's not really going to change. He was great. He still didn't get the win.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something to keep in mind. Obviously, we knew in these last couple of games we talked about when DeGrom was on the mound that they weren't getting the wins, which was so frustrating for him, but obviously a great player. Now, the Mets for today, they're favored with 6.5 runs as the total right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Over is 10-4 in the last 14 meetings overall between these teams.
You know, this is tough right now. I mean, you saw yesterday's game have a total of 6, and at what point were you nervous about it? Really none. You look at today, it's a 6.5. Similar feeling. You have got a Rockies team that right now has cashed under tickets in 6 of their last 7 baseball games, and a Mets team, Aaron, 13-3-1 to the under at Citi Field this year. It has been an unders ballpark all season long. I mean, I know it's low, but it looks like this is going to be a game with a 4-2, a 3-1 kind of final. I think you probably play the under again.
Ugh. Interesting. All right, let's continue. I know you hate when you take the under there. Let's talk about the Blue Jays and the Yankees, because obviously Toronto upset the Yanks in the Bronx 6-2 with Steven Matz on the mound. He had 10 strikeouts. How do the Yankees look, Kev?
Well, not great, but it was, I don't want to say expected. That would be unfair. They were favorites in the game. But the Blue Jays desperately needed a win after getting beaten up by Tampa Bay. The Yanks had just swept a White Sox team, so perhaps a letdown could have been due. The big thing, though, and give Steven Matz his credit, as you mentioned, 6 2/3, only 1 earned, no walks, 10 Ks, great stuff from him. Corey Kluber leaving injured after only 3 innings of work. That's very concerning for the Yankees. This was his first start since the no-hitter, and that was something that created a lot of momentum, I believe, around Corey Kluber. The thought was maybe they've really found a second ace here. Hopefully Corey Kluber is all right. Ultimately, for the Yankees, you just have to wait and see. Kluber was a 2-time American League Cy Young. Injury then kind of started to derail that. Felt like he was finding the form again. We now wait to find out just how difficult things are.
And now the Yankees are favored today with a total at 9. Another under trend, 7-1 in the last 8 meetings. Which way would you play this game?
So today I would look to the Yanks to bounce back. Now, minus 164 might be a little much. If you're a parlay player, I wouldn't be mad at getting them involved. The last time the Yankees lost consecutive games to a team, April 17th and 18th to the Tampa Bay Rays. And that was the last time that they lost the series. It's just been very difficult for the same team to beat them consecutive games here. I think bouncing back in this spot here, Herman, who was tremendous, 7 shutout innings in his last start. I think the Yanks are the play. I understand minus 164 for some people, a little too much. Run line, consider it. Don't love it. But I think the Yanks are the play, whether it be a parlay or not.
All right, let's talk about the Dodgers versus the Astros. We know the Dodgers got the 9-2 win yesterday. Now they have 8 straight wins. Clayton Kershaw was on the mound. He had 6 strikeouts in 7 innings pitched. How are the Dodgers looking? I mean, obviously so impressive that they won 8 straight.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're awesome. They're just great. They really are. And the thing is you knew they were going to turn the corner, and they absolutely have. They now sit there 30-18. They're just such a good baseball team. They do it all. The offense is starting to click again. I mean, they beat up on Astros team that's now lost 5 straight games. And here's the other big thing, just to mention. Kershaw talked about this game, saying, you know, it did mean a little bit more. Teams are not going to forget. They are not going to forget how they feel about the Houston Astros and everything that they did with the cheating scandal, especially teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees.
And then since we're talking about this game, the Dodgers are favored with Bauer on the mound. Not a huge favorite, minus 132 on the money line. The total at 7. Another undertrend. I feel like every single game I'm talking about, there's an undertrend. But 12-5-2 in the last 19 meetings.
No, it's certainly live, though, right? I mean, people have talked about maybe hitting being down. So I think undertrends make a lot of sense. I'll make this point. Here, I know yesterday I thought that the Astros might have been worth the play. Got that wrong. I think today I would lean towards the Dodgers at minus 132. Mm. Trevor Bauer is significantly better than his opponent here in Garcia. But here's also what I think's important. Trevor Bauer, though never a member of that Dodgers team that was potentially robbed of a World Series by the Astros, maybe more vocal than any of the Dodgers about his disdain for Houston. Hates what they did and felt like that team should have been reprimanded significantly more than they were. I think you're going to get an uber locked in Trevor Bauer, maybe a Dodgers first 5. I think Bauer's going to be phenomenal here in this game against Houston.
Yeah, and the Dodgers just overall, again, impressive with 8 straight wins. Let's talk about the Cardinals versus the White Sox. White Sox get that first win, 8-3 with 5 runs in the first 2 innings. Not a great night for Jack Flaherty. How did he look, Kev?
Oh, Jackie boy. No, say it ain't so.
Something
first
wasn't
loss of the year
for him.
No, it was not. It certainly wasn't. Doesn't even make it 4 innings. Gives up, you know, 3 earned runs, but 7 in total. So some fielding not helping him out there. Ultimately, it's a great White Sox team. They were happy to be home, I think, after a tough outing against the Yanks. They moved to 16-8 overall at home this year. The Cardinals dip below 500 on the road, which is something to keep in mind. Lucas Giolito was excellent. Thought maybe, you know, a little plus money on Jackie Boy would be worth it. Overall, still 18-1. The dream of 25 wins is still alive, but this game did not help.
It did not. And the White Sox, again, heavy favorites, total 8.5. We have Rodon on the mound, under 12-5 in the last 17 games. Are you going with the White Sox again today? Obviously, I know you're not going to bet them on the money line, just given how much juice that is, but maybe throw them in a parlay, or would you look towards the total?
Yeah, perhaps the parlay avenue works there. Rodon has been so good for the Chicago team, but Gant's not been bad in his own right here. You know, it is interesting to see that disparity in the run line, right? Like a big minus 210 favorite there. All of a sudden, you say, oh, well, what if I take a run and a half? You know, it's minus 122. I feel like they think this game, although it should be a White Sox win, should be a competitive game. I do think that is interesting from the total perspective. Nothing really jumping off the page. Maybe you grab a run and a half with the Cardinals. I'm certainly not going to lay a minus 210 number there on the White Sox.
No, I can see that. Also, last game, I just want to mention the Padres and the Brewers. Padres took game 2, 7-1 with Joe Musgrove on the mound. And then Padres are favored with Paddock on the mound today. Total at 8 under for the trend. 7-2 in the last 9 meetings.
Yeah, so I just want to start with yesterday's game. We talked about this now with Corbin Burnes. Corbin Burnes, 6 innings, only 2 hits, 4 earned runs, walked 3, struck out 7. Not bad, not great. But Corbin Burnes, who, by the way, is still the second choice on the board for NL Cy Young. And let's just take a moment to think about that. Corbin Burnes is supposed to be the guy to put pressure on DeGrom. Corbin Burnes is 2-4. Corbin Burnes' ERA is a 2.3. DeGrom's a 0.8. Like, the gap between Burnes, who, by the way, has a huge gap between whomever, you believe would be the third option here. They say Brandon Woodruff, Burns' teammate, funny enough. Between Burns and DeGrom, it's universes apart. They're not even close. Like, DeGrom is minus 125. I guess that's about as high as you could be for a guy that's missed some time. But, I mean, he is a runaway favorite right now, in my mind, for NL Cy Young. Corbin Burns, Aaron, like, fading Burns from a, you know, outright perspective has worked. They are 2-5 in Corbin Burns starts. That's pretty staggering for a guy that is the second choice in the NL Cy Young market.
Yeah, that's actually pretty wild. And since, before we get into the hockey talk, is there any other games on the board that jump out to you for today?
Yeah, you know, obviously right now, I think the Angels are a team that people are starting to talk about. Shohei Ohtani had a nice, had a big game yesterday, so people are always trying to keep tabs on them. Going up against the Rangers, a total of 8.5 is going to be interesting. And also the Giants getting back on track after their tough beatdown at the hands of the LA Dodgers. They hand the Diamondbacks their 9th consecutive loss. And I guess, speaking of streaks, I'd be remiss if I didn't give the KC folks a little bit of love. The Royals snapped the Rays' 11-game win streak with a 2-1 victory over them yesterday.
Ooh. Tough one for James. He's not in today, but we'll definitely be giving him some heat for that. So let's take it over to hockey. Maple Leafs and the Canadiens. Leafs shut them out 4-0 yesterday. Predators game going into overtime against the Hurricanes. Hurricanes end up winning 3-2 at home. Now Toronto and Carolina lead their respective series 3-2. So we have three hockey games that are on the board for today. We have the Penguins. They're heading to New York for Game 6. The Islanders can win the series if they win today. If not, then, of course, we're going to go to Game 7. Same things for the Panthers and the Lightning, with the Lightning leading the series. Also, same situation for the Golden Knights versus the Islanders. New York is up 3-2 in their series. Is there any game in particular, Kev, that you have an eye on?
Well, I think it's they're all very big because they're all 3-2. So, you know, teams are trying to advance here, which is incredibly important. The Isles hosting and the Lightning hosting. So if either one of those teams drops this game, not only do you have to play a game 7 do or die, you have to play it on the road. So I think the urgency is going to be at an all-time high from both the Lightning and the Isles. Not that it, of course, won't be from the Penguins and the Panthers with their seasons on the line, but you really do not want to let this go any longer. You've done a great job to give yourself the chance to close it out on your home ice. I think that they're, of course, going to be looking to do just that.
Yes, no, I agree with you there. Stay with us here on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to give you our hero of the night. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. It is now time to get to our hero of the night.
Little hero of the night action here on a Wednesday. I made this point earlier in the week. It continues to be true. Hockey is making my life incredibly easy to find heroes of the night. I don't want it to get redundant, so at some point, I can't just keep giving it to people that get overtime winners, but also, like, I mean, it's like the total essence of what we're doing here. Jordan Staal, come on down. It was such an important goal. Hurricanes Preds yesterday, series is 2-2, going to Carolina. Winner of that game certainly controls their destiny, it feels like, for the series. We're into overtime, and Jordan Staal steps up, answers the moment, his fourth goal of this series, an unassisted beaut that puts this team now up 3-2, an opportunity to close it out in Nashville, or at the minimum know that you'll be playing a Game 7 on your home ice. The playoff hockey has been wonderful. It's been intense. I almost am happy that I don't have much of a dog in the race. I don't know if I'd be able to stomach all of these games essentially ending on buzzer beaters, but it is delightful. And you are seeing some tremendous performances. Jordan Stahl, the most recent here, grabbing Hero of the Night honors with that late goal in overtime to give the Hurricanes not only a 3-2 lead in that game, but a 3-2 lead in the series.
Yeah, I mean, playoff hockey has been absolutely electric. As you mentioned, they have a 3-2 series lead. There are three games on the board tonight with teams that have a 3-2 series lead. You have the Islanders, then you have the Lightning, and then you have the Vegas Golden Knights. So, of course, all important games tonight. You can bet on these right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook for all three games. Just want to mention the total is at 5.5. As for favorite teams, Golden Knights, the Lightning, and the Islanders. We'll be right back after the break to give you our 7-7 top headlines.
The only